Good morning.
Love Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to the NavWeek Talk Radio Show, and I am Ann McNeil, the Master Builder Building Stronger and Better Lives, and you are in for a treat today. Today we have with us Ms. Joanne Jackson from the Minority Business Report. Good morning, Ms. Jackson. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Ms. Jackson is presently the Minority Business Enterprise Coordinator for Anne Arundel County in Maryland. She earned a degree in business administration from Howard University and a master's degree in urban regional planning from the University of Pittsburgh School of Public and International Affairs. She has provided technical assistance to the local governments and community-based organizations while working as a urban planner for the state of New York and Arlington County, Virginia. Ms. Jackson has worked for CPA firms and private economic consultants in Washington, D.C. Ms. Jackson, good morning again, and welcome to NavWeek Talk.
Thank you for having me.
And what we'd like to do today for our listening audience is have you share with us some information about the Minority Business Report. Can you share with us, please? Thank you.
The Minority Business Report is a local cable access program that provides information to minority women-owned businesses in particular and the community in general about what's going on in our program at Anne Arundel County, which is located in Annapolis, Maryland. Anne Arundel County geographically is that area south of Baltimore, east of Howard County, and north of Prince George's in Washington, D.C. The Minority Business Report has a variety of different themes that I look at. I interview local business people who give us thoughts and recommendations on how they have succeeded in business, what have been some of their challenges, and they give me lots of recommendations and words of advice for the local businesses who are interested in going into a particular field. For instance, some of my topics have been, one that's really beholden to my heart is women in construction. I have a whole host of minority and women-owned businesses in that area who are what I consider my constituent base. And for instance, I do these shows to highlight these companies so that the community will know who they are. And we're always talking about the larger community and how people don't know who the minority businesses are. When contracts come out, people say, well, we don't know any of these businesses. And so it hits women business owners just as it does minority business owners. So I have an eclectic mix of folks who are in the construction industry, and I bring them on my show. Some of my other topics have been like technology today and what minority businesses really need, joint venture, partnering for success, marketing tips for small business. I've even interviewed recently in the last year the developers of the Maryland Live Casino, and I had them on the show talking about their goals and objectives for utilizing minority businesses during the construction and the build-out of that particular casino, which is currently now in operation.
Is that in New York?
Excuse me?
Is that the one in New York?
I'm talking about Maryland. Maryland Live Casino is recently opened in the Hanover area. It's one of five casinos slated for the state of Maryland. And the unique thing about this particular casino, the developers joint ventured with Kevin Johnson, who is the owner of Commercial Interiors. And so the casino was built under a joint venture agreement with Commercial Interiors and T.N. Ward out of, I believe they're out of Nevada.
Okay.
And it's a really beautiful, a casino. It's right south of BWI Airport.
Now, what's the value? Do you have any idea what the value of the casino project was?
I can't hear. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, the value of the project.
Oh, the value of the project.
Yes, the value of the project.
Since it was a private project, I've seen numbers like in the $50, $60, $70 million range.
Okay, that's a pretty good sized project, and then you have very much minority participation on that project.
What I've heard, because again, I'm a government agent, and that's a private project.
No, I understand.
I've seen numbers. Well, they've done subsequent outreach events, one which was very recently in the last 3 weeks, and they're saying that they spent approximately 40% of that contract with minority contractors, with Kevin and Commercial Interiors being one of the lead developers. Kevin and his company made sure that there was minority participation at every different level of that project.
Okay, now I'm just curious because we are black women in construction, and I know that it was private, but do you know offhand if there were very many African-American women involved in the project?
I don't. I can do some research on it.
Yeah,
I have heard various people had small portions of it. For instance, an architect in Anne Arundel County sent me a memo and showed me the project. He did a back office renovation for the casino. And so when you have private versus public, you know, you have clear lines of authority as to who's doing what. I mean, it's not like Anne Arundel County is not the District of Columbia, or it's not the city of Baltimore that has a very strong, not so much inclusive, but a captive program where they're in control and they have laws and legislation that in terms of dealing with the private sector. Anne Arundel County does not have a law. We just have me and a couple of other people kind of pushing on the system to get a minority participation. So when it comes to the private sector, we are not authorized to actually, we don't have a hammer that says to the private sector, you do X, Y, and Z. You cooperate with them.
Right.
Their MBE person and I talked and shared lots of information back and forth. We had certain events which they were invited to, outreach events, so they could get to meet women in minority business. So that's about as much as you can hope for when you're dealing with the private sector. It's their money, it's their project, and it's strictly private. There was no government money in there. But what they do is they take cues from us in terms of having outreach events and having us bring people to the table for them and with them.
Right. Right, I understand. The reason I ask that question is because in South Florida and Miami in particular, we are looking to have casinos built in the state. And we're going through the exact same situation that you've just experienced, whereby the politicians are requesting the casino developers and the owners to, which is Genting Properties, actually is the name of the organization, and they just had an opening in New York for one of their casinos, and they have casinos all over the world. But I'm not sure if this is probably one of the ones that's in your city, but I understand what you're saying, and we do everything we can to ensure as much local African-American participation as we can get because we have a large percentage of our population is minority. So in terms of having minorities, then you can do that with your eyes closed. As a matter of fact, you can have 100% of the project can be minority, but it won't be us as African-Americans. And then when you talk about African-American women in construction in particular, that number is even smaller, and that's one of the reasons why this organization exists. So we thank you for that.
We have a number of very powerful minority contractors association. There's two in particular that have a political connection. And so, the character of the Maryland Casino Live was that, and these guys were very smart. They came in and they joint ventured with a minority company, which was Commercial Interiors. So that takes the burden off of them for having to be responsible for all the different pieces, all these little different moving parts in the program. And so if the casino owners in Florida were smart, they would pick up on one or two of the strongest organizations with the most viable members and utilize them to help them funnel and be eased into the system. But internally, the casino, the MBE person in the casino, and it may not be an MBE person, it might be the purchasing agent, it might be the project managers. That's the difficult thing about construction projects, is you can never really get a handle on who's in charge. And I remember when this project was being built, people were coming to me and like, oh, Joan, we want you to come here and we want you to do this and that. And I was like, I'm not going to get involved with that because there was too many people coming at me and I didn't know who they were in relationship to the casino. So and a lot of it was prior to all of that was in a lobbying phase. And I cannot be involved in any lobbying or anything that has to do with issues on that level. So, but you can, your organization can get really involved in the mixed in the middle of everything and try to identify those people who are responsible parties.
Exactly. And that's the key. Would be politically and within the ownership of that organization. And also our membership, too. And like I said, that is exactly why we exist as an organization, to help support African-American women all across the United States, because we really have access and relationships.
I think the key for organizations, though, and I don't mean this negatively, is to not get bamboozled by the private sector. They want you to sometimes feel that and get involved with them, but then in the end, nobody gets any of the business. And you just have to be very vigilant about who you're going to be dealing with. And then watching that project over a period of time, you might want to create a small committee of maybe 3 or 5 people that will be the watchdogs for that particular project.
That's a very good point. One of the other areas that we've included also is to have a community benefits agreement, which will help us identify on the front end with some kind of buy-in with the owners of whatever project it is, so that going into the project is very clear and is written, and we can all be held accountable to what we're committed to do.
Good luck on that one.
Well, we've had some success on a project we just completed in the Miami area called the Marlins
right.
Ballpark, and we did have a community benefits agreement with the owner. That was a private project also. But like you said, there were some, there was some county involvement because it was, the man was owned by the county and the city.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally that did give some voice.
Right. And I think what you're hearing in my voice is somebody who's been at this for like 25 years, and I've seen a lot in terms of how private industry interfaces with local governments. They're very amenable, and they'll sit down and they'll discuss things. But when it's a straight-out private project that involves millions of dollars, you're kind of sitting on the fringes. And but anyway, I don't want to wear that one out. You'll see as you progress with that particular project how it's going to work. And us being ladies, I mean, we're kind of not in the mix, in the negotiation mix, so that might be a good project for your organization.
Yes, that's a very good, it's a very good idea, and we will definitely take that and move that forward. Let me just do an announcement, a commercial. You are listening to the National Association of Black Women Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, better known as NABWIC Talks, and today we are talking with Ms. Joanne Jackson. And name is Jackson again, is the Minority and Small Business Enterprise Coordinator for Anne Arundel County in Maryland. Joanne provides marketing and development assistance to small businesses, minority contractors, and not-for-profit organizations. She hosts the Minority Business Report, which airs daily on Comcast 98, Verizon 38. The Minority Business Report highlights the accomplishments of women and minority businesses in Anne Arundel County and provides information and resources to help small businesses grow and prosper. And I would like to suggest at some point, Ms. Jackson, offline, of course, that we would love to have a conversation with you to see how our organization may be able to partner with your office to see how we can help create a chapter for NABWIC in your area, because our goal is to help African-American women and girls. Actually, the vision is to encourage young black girls in junior high school, and colleges, college-age girls to consider the construction industry. So whether it's an architect, contractor, engineers, subcontractors, professionals, project managers, project superintendents, carpenters, laborers, whatever the trade or profession is, we would love to help grow the number of black women in the construction industry. So
Let's talk about that a little bit. I am, I'm not sure if my membership is up to date, but over the last 10 years, I've been a member of Associated Builders and Contractors in the Chesapeake Shores chapter of ABC. And very recently, ABC received a grant from our local workforce development agency. And out of that project, I initiated a Women in Construction panel in which I brought some of my associates who were in the construction industry to talk to the trainees. There were about 25 of them. Now, these were women who came to the Workforce Development Agency because they're either unemployed or laid off or whatever, or were in transition and looking for new opportunities in the employment field. And it went very, very well. That might be something that you guys might also want to consider doing, because not only do you want to promote careers in construction, but there's lots of women out here who need new jobs and need new connections. And I did three sessions with them. I still send them information. And as a result of that effort, I received what they call a Willow Award. A Willow Award is a project of ABC Chesapeake Shores programming. And there's a company called Willow Construction, and Willow awards 10 women every year who promote the concepts of construction and seek to endeavor to get people involved, others involved in the construction industry. So I'm kind of proud about that, but even more importantly, we were able to touch bases with women who had no idea what they were getting into. We gave them the what-fors, the where-fors, and lots of other connections to help them get started in the construction industry.
Well, I am holding my peace in a very excited way, Ms. Jackson, because I, too, am also intricately involved with ABC. I actually sit on their National Diversity Committee board for the entire organization. So I am...
Are you a member of ABC?
Yes, I am a member of the organization. What I'm saying to you, I'm a board member. I am on the National Committee for Diversity for the entire organization.
Oh, okay.
And intricately involved in our local chapter. So absolutely, I'm very involved. As a matter of fact, our organization just submitted a grant response to Walmart with ABC to do some of the things that you just discussed. So most definitely, definitely, definitely. So I'm very excited for you, and congratulations for that, because that is one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing, because if we don't encourage women, regardless of race or color, to enter this industry, you know, how will they see the role models if we don't, you know, exemplify that for them.
And we have a lot of local women doing those kinds of things. One of my TV shows, it was on business training and workforce development, in which I interviewed a young lady named Jay McElroy, McElroy Enterprises, and another lady called Ms. Cynthia Costa-Bennett. And what McElroy Enterprises is, they help prime contractors vet local firms, even though we have certification processes in the state of Maryland. A lot of companies, even if they, after they start dealing with certified businesses, they want to know that this particular company has the wherewithal, has the experience, and they don't want to take the time to do that. They don't want to hire staff or take time from the construction duties to have to vet certain firms. So what they do is they utilize Jay McElroy's company to bring people who are construction ready, you know, and who have had all the experiences that a prime contractor is looking for in doing business. So as women, we're doing lots of interesting things in the construction industry, working to help women and minority businesses gain access to the bottom line, which is jobs and dollar bills.
That's exactly true, exactly true. And we have a number of our members are calling in and listening in, and I just would like to encourage anyone that has a question. We have about 10 minutes or so left in the show, but if you have a question that you'd like to ask Ms. Joanne Jackson, if you would just press 1 on your phone. And again, Joanne Jackson is representing the Minority Small Business Enterprise Coordinator for Anne Arundel County in Maryland. And she also hosts a TV show, and it is a TV show, correct? And
yes, ma'am.
Yes, daily. And it is called the Minority Business Report. And we're just so excited to have you today, because when you think about getting the word out in technology, it has just grown tremendously. Just to think that, you know, years ago you would have to physically go and invest a lot of money to do your show. How long have you had the show, by the way?
Well, I was looking at my my data, and I see I've been doing this since 2006, so my show is almost close to 7 years old. But it's so interesting and creative that, you know, I just keep going. And I'm constantly meeting new business people. For instance, I met a gentleman at the Maryland Live Casino. They did an outreach, and he is doing international trade. And I just recently, like yesterday, did a panel discussion with some key members of the state of Maryland and the U.S. Export Assistance Center. We did a resources for international trade resources for small businesses, and so you never know who you're going to meet out here, and being creative and trying to put forth a message for minority business in a community that's predominantly a non-minority. And we've got a lot of good feedback from the community, black and white. I've gotten calls from totally anonymous strangers saying that they really like the show. So I know that, that we're having some kind of impact in terms of changing people's concepts of who we are and what we're doing as government agents, and that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. And again, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly one of the reasons why we're doing this show, this Blog Talk Radio show, every week. We're not quite once a day. Does that take a toll on you once a day?
No, I'm sorry. Let me clarify the show. I tape it. It's the same show that runs through the month. I let it stay on for 30 days.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a broadcast show, and it just runs continuously, which gives me another 30 days to find guests and schedule and develop a script and that kind of thing. Because I have,
you
like,
know what?
Five...
Ms. Jackson, you just gave me a very good idea, because we could take this show and actually run it every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that
that's
a great
idea.
That is a wonderful idea. We could take this show as opposed to, because what we do with Blog Talk, we do this show once a week. And but going to your point, you do your show once a month, but you post it every day, same show.
Yes, same show, same time. And so people fall in the habit. And like I said, over the years, I figured, well, I'll stop it. And, you know, I'm kind of tired of it. But people call me just at that a strange time, just when I'm thinking about doing something else, and they say, oh, we love the show, please keep up the good work. And that's coming from the community. So, and it is on the community access channel, so I will continue to do the show. TV show, doing reports and statistics on minority utilization, doing outreach events. I also do special events, like I did the last one with ABC. We called it Diversity in Construction, which was a mixer in which we provided local contractors with ABC contacts. And some of those companies that were involved were American Infrastructure, Willow Construction, Harkin Builders, Fascino, Coakley Williams, Delaware Elevator, Gilbane, and Whiting Turner. So these are some of the major construction companies in the Baltimore, Washington area who are members of ABC and are saying, we want to do this because we have diversity policies within our organization. So it's been quite an interesting, I would say every year it gets more interesting. So 25 years of this, and the most recent 3 or 4 years have been very interesting with the new developments of the casino and more women and minority business owners coming into the field.
Excellent. Well, let me take a moment and ask and just repeat for our callers, if you have a question, we have about 2 minutes left to the show. And if you have a question for Ms. Jackson, please press 1 on your phone and you will be able to speak. And we have a caller, last 4 digits, 6587. You're on the air.
Good morning, Deborah Thompson with the National Association of Black Women in Construction, the voice of Black women in construction throughout the country. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed the presentation between you and Ms. Ann McNeil this morning. I'm vice president with Ann here in Jacksonville, Florida, and just really want to comment to you for the things that you have done and to let you know that we'd like for you to become a part of NAPWIC in a very big way and kind of help us guide and mold us into doing some of the things that we're doing. In your Maryland area, are there opportunities in the construction, highway construction industry, and do you get involved with any of that, or do you see any of that in your work as you go throughout the county?
Well, I'm a county employee. State Highway Administration funds are administered by the Maryland State Highway Administration. So, I mean, I see it, but I'm not intimately involved in it. But I can tell you the state of Maryland has a number of new initiatives to get women and minorities involved in state construction. It's through the Office of Fair Practices. And Maryland has always had a very strong MBE program. But what I think that is not there is a lot of women in highway construction. There are some, but it's a small handful, and I'm talking about the whole state. I mean, within my geographic reach, I'm in Prince George's County. I work in Anne Arundel County, and my contacts are in Baltimore. So I travel throughout a region, and I know MBEs in the region, and quite truthfully, there are not a lot of women in highway construction.
Thank you so very much for your comment. I work with the Florida Department of Transportation at Florida A&M University with a construction management program and a bond guarantee program. And when we look at our list, we have people from the Maryland area who are certified DBEs, and they are doing some work here in the Florida area. So
right,
I will take a look to see exactly, you know, whether they're women or male, female-owned, and, you know, reach out to them and see if we can't work together with some of our local contractors.
Yeah, that will work.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so very much for that question, Deborah. Now, Ms. Jackson, if you would like to share any special information with our listening audience, maybe your show or how can they contact you, anything that you may have upcoming, please do that before we wrap up the show.
Well, you can reach me in Annapolis on 410-222-7620. If you just want to talk about opportunities are available in Maryland, and this is a very concrete area here. We have people coming from all across the country to work in this very dynamic area. We've got casinos. There's a ballot on the, excuse me, there's a referendum on the next ballot. It has to do with the extension of casinos. So this area is becoming known not just for construction of residential and commercial buildings, but other larger development projects.
Okay, now what about your show? Can you just repeat how they can listen into your show?
Well, the show is on local cable access, so unless you're in Anne Arundel County, as you know, every jurisdiction has its own community access channel. It's on Verizon Channel 98. Verizon Channel 38 and Comcast 98, but it can only be viewed in Anne Arundel County.
Oh, they can only view it in your county.
Yes, it's on the community access, cable access channel. It's
okay.
Not satellite TV. I mean, it's not on satellite. It's just local community access.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very much for sharing with us today and for all
mm-hmm.
of our listening audience. You have just been listening to Ms. Joanne Jackson. And again, she is with the Minority Small Business Enterprise for Arundel County, Maryland.
And Arundel.
And Arundel. Thank you so very much.
Mm-hmm.
In Maryland. And she hosts a TV show that airs daily in her area called the Minority Business Report. And we'd just like to thank you again for joining us. And you have been listening to NAFWIC Talks, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black women in construction. So please share this show with your friends, tweet, Facebook, Pinterest, and share Ms. Jackson's story. Thank you so very much. And we will hear you, listen to you again. Our listening audience on the radio next week. And Ms. Jackson, before I wrap up, I just want to just thank you again for coming on the show, but also for the idea of taking this show and airing it every day. So we will get with Marissa and Linda and Louis Saint and Rachel Moore and make sure that we can find a way, starting with your show actually, to post this show every day. And I'm not sure if you have a Facebook page, but we'd love to send this to you so you can have a copy of today's show.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
No, my pleasure. And again, you have been listening to NAFWIC Talks. We are the voice for Black women in construction. Have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.